Vajrasura. Oh, okay. That's not me. 2019. Okay, who's chanting? Who is leading the chanting? We'll take volunteers. Excuse me?
I can start now.
You can start now. Okay, stop, 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 stop. Have you been in any of my classes before?
First time.
Okay. I didn't tell you then. In my classes, only obeisances, Hare Krishna, one tune, nothing else. Clear? Okay, carry on. Just over the teaching of AC Bhakti Vedanta Shandra and Kudra Jai. Nanta Koti Vaishnavi Ki Jai, Nama Charger Shidari Das Taku Ki Jai. Fame Sakahosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Govaki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Kopinath Sham Kunaradha Kunikidi Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai, Nabdeep Tham Ki Jai, Jagannath Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamana Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Vishnu Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Shanti Nam Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaudiya Welcome, thank you for coming. By way of announcements, I've switched your schedule. I think you know about that. So we go straight through Monday through Saturday, and then we're done. And I skip out on Sunday. So that's clear. Second thing is Gopal, this is a personal item. They asked me to lead Mangalarti tomorrow. I said...
Tomorrow?
I just gave him one word. I said, Gopal. And he said, I don't know. I said, find Gopal and fix up a day. So he's looking for you.
Somebody came to me this morning at 9:45 in the temple. I don't know who he was. And he said, day after tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't know if that was the correct person.
Probably. Probably. Then he'll get back to me tomorrow and say, tomorrow. Okay, good. So we're in orbit here. So we are looking at the history of Ajamil from beginning to end. First of all, let's be here instead of there. Essentially, what we're going to find out about is the value of the holy name of Krishna. That's really where we're going to be with all of this. The value of the holy name of Krishna and the deliverability, I guess that's a word, deliverability of anyone, the eligibility of anyone to be delivered by the chanting of the holy name. How did we get to this discussion from the previous canto? Who knows, who knows?
Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit are discussing Jad Bharat's instructing Maharaj Rahugna. And then from there, it goes into the forest of material enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the cosmology of the Vedas, which we didn't have anyone teach us yet.
Okay, that's
and then
a
straight
specialist
on to here,
method.
So I'm not completely clear on where it picks up from.
Okay, where did we end up with the cosmology?
Well, I wasn't there. I was just thinking what I remember from the fifth canto, because Shukadeva Goswami was describing about the hellish planets.
Yeah.
And I think out of compassion for each of my concerned how one can be saved from
that. That's right. We wound up in hell at the end of the fifth canto. And after hearing about the description of the hellish planets, Maharaj Pariksit is wondering what can be done so that people can be saved from this hellish life. Buddhists, of course, have their own approach to this, that suffering is due to desire is due to individuality. Snuff out individuality.
and you've solved the problem. But we don't regard that as a very useful path. Okay. So Parikshit Maharaj has said, you've talked about the path of liberation, how one can be promoted through the spiritual world. But unless one is free from material, the spirit of material enjoyment, one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as described in the third canto, but he can't get free from material life. And especially the hellish life is described at the end of the fifth canto, which is serious business. In the beginning of this chapter, the Parikshit Maharaj gives a sort of summary of where we've been. He describes something. In the second canto, we've looked at this. Third canto, we've looked at that. Fourth canto, we've looked at this. And he's sort of bringing us up to date. So he says, Adhuna, now. Adhuna, iha, mahabhaga. Yataiva narakan naraha nanogra yatana neyat tanme vyapyatumahasi. Now please tell me how the living beings can be saved from hellish life. That's his request. And then what happens? When Sukadev Goswami answers him, what happens? Who's read? Who knows? Who remembers?
I guess describing the process of atonement.
Yeah. What's the context of that?
Because Richard Mark was asking how one can be saved from this hellish suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Shukadeva Goswami says one has to atone for one's sins.
Yes, one has to atone, he says. What's the overall context of that atonement, and what category of advancement does that come? Oh, we've got a live group today.
That's Karmakanda.
Karmakanda, thank you very much. Comes in the realm of Karmakanda. We've done this, so you have to counteract it by that, and we want to get freed from impious activities and accumulate something like banking. You know, pay off your credit card, pay off your mortgage, pay off your other debts, and bring in some profit here and put it in CDs, fixed deposits. And so you're thinking how to increase your punya and cut down your sinful reactions. So Sukadev Goswami recommends atonement. What is this atonement? It's actually a word Prabhupada's picked up, seems, from Christian theology.
Prayaschitta.
Yeah, what's prayaschitta?
Okay, somebody murders someone, and the state government hangs him.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't have to suffer in the future.
Yeah.
So.
What if he didn't murder somebody? What if he just stole a carrot from someone's garden or did something?
And he gets community service and he has to go garden for that person. And
yeah.
Repent.
So what does that mean, this atonement? What is atonement, or what is prayaschitta? What is it actually? You know, we say, well, it's a process of atonement. Atonement, what is it, you know, what is this atonement? What do we mean by atonement? We have an idea of what it might mean in the Christian world. What's prayaschitta? What actually is it?
It's counteracting whatever sinful activity one has committed according to the gravity of the sin, so it varies according to...
How do you do it? How do you pay?
According to, well, if you follow the Vedic scriptures, there's Manusmita and the Dhamma Sastras.
Yeah, so what does it mean? What do you do?
supposed to recognize and acknowledge that you've done something.
And that's it?
And, well, it doesn't really get rid of the problem. The problem is the proclivity to perform the action. The proclivity to
see. Yeah. But what do you, I just admit it and then I've done. I beat the pujari over the head and I say, yeah, I shouldn't have done that and I'm very sorry. What is this atonement? Is that what it is? It's just I'm sorry and feeling bad about it? Yes?
Would that be things like penance and
Yeah, certain process. What is that process? When you say penance, you're right. What do we mean by penance? When we say atonement, we say penance. What do we mean?
To not sin again.
Is that it?
To not
I'm sorry and I won't do it again?
Well, make sure you don't do it again.
Is that it? Is that... Hmm? Yeah, I know that, but what is this penance thing? You restrain yourself from the things that you want to do, yeah, okay. Little. Okay. Some refraining from something that you might like. What else? Yeah. Generally, there's some trouble. Penance means that you undergo some trouble. So you were right that, you know, it may consist of, well, I really love idlis and dosas, but for a month I'm not going to take any uridol. Or I may really love to sugarcane juice, but I'm going to forego sugarcane juice. Or it may be really undergoing some physical pain, some physical trouble, up to the point of sacrificing your life, being hanged. There are all sorts of prescriptions. Whoever said that, you said that, that the, according to the gravity of the offense, the prescription is given. Prabhupada talked about this, that you're kind of like a doctor where he'll, according to the severity of the disease, he gives his prescription. So according to the seriousness of the offense, some prayaschita, atonement, penance, voluntary acceptance of trouble or pain even, is accepted. That, all right, I'll undergo this, I'll pay a fine. That's part of, maybe part of it. Well, I'll pay a fine. Or I'll eat only once a day. Or I won't eat this or I won't eat that. Or I'll stand in the middle of the snow for 3 hours a day and starve myself. Whatever it may be. There are different penances. And some of them are very mild. I just say I'm sorry and offer to give 3 carrots for the one I stole, or it may be very serious, like I have to give up my life. That was the penance for some things, is like drink hot ghee, like boiling hot ghee, and give up your life. And there are other such things prescribed in Manu Samhita. Some of them get quite heavy for doing the worst things. And then the idea is, well, now you paid. So you don't have to pay in your next life. Otherwise, you have to pay. You have to go to hell and pay. And the description was there at the end of the fifth canto. The sugarcane juice machine that you get run through, and they double you up and put a little ginger in and run you through again. Gets pretty serious. But if you pay this life, then you don't. Then your debt is over. So they prescribe, okay, this, this, and this, and this. and then you're freed from the reactions of your sinful life. And therefore, for some of these things, the government gets involved and hangs you or whatever, and that's a kindness, because now your slate is clear. You don't have to come back and suffer for that. It's the duty of the state to do that. So this is the first thing Sukadeva Goswami recommends, that, well, you've got these people who are suffering from sinful life, so they should do tapasya, they should do penance, atonement, so that they can neutralize the reactions. And that's basically karmakanda solution to the problem. So then what does Parikshit Maharaj say about that? Would you like some paper, by the way? I have some extra paper.
No, I have to.
You need it there, okay.
It says that it doesn't destroy the seed in the heart.
Doesn't destroy the seed in the heart. What does that mean?
You might do the same thing again.
Do the same thing again. Got rid of the reaction. You paid your dues. We see this in the penal system all the time. The people go to jail, and they're put through hardship, and then as soon as they get out, okay, give it another shot. So Parikshit Maharaj says that doesn't seem like this is going to work. He gives that example. Criminals punished by the government and rebuked by people in general, and he hears from scriptures, and he's that he'll be thrown into hell. And despite all of that, he goes out and does these things. So this is useless. And what's the example that he gives?
Like an elephant takes bath in a river or a lake, and then after cleaning oneself, comes out and covers itself with mud again, earth and dust.
Kundra socha, but kundra means the elephant. Socha, the bathing of the elephant. And but means like. But kundra socha, but manye kundra socha, but this seems to be just like the bathing of the elephant. The elephant bathes himself very nicely, then he gets on the shore, and he gets some sand in his trunk and does the talcum powder thing with all this dirt. So it looks like that. It's just sinning and repenting. Doesn't look like it solves the problem. So then what does Sukadeva Goswami say? Who else? Depend on Krishna. Nah, wrong answer. I think I'm going to be sympathetic just because it's Krishna. You're wrong. Yes. Yeah. Prayaschit vimarshana. Get knowledge. Just sinning and repenting, that won't do anything. But if you develop knowledge, that will solve the problem. Real atonement is enlightenment in perfect knowledge, Vedanta, by which one understands the absolute truth. So then he recommends these various items of knowledge, which Srila Prabhupada quite often referred to. Tapasa, brahmacharyena, samena cha, damena cha, tyagena, satya, socha, yam, yamena, niyamena, va, dehavag, buddhijam, tida, dharma, gya, shradayan, bhutaha, shipantya, gham, mahadapi, venu, guman, divanava. So the person who follows these different kinds of purificatory methods will develop knowledge, to become a sober person, and he'll get freed from sins. Finally, he says, and he was essentially very happy, Sukadeva Goswami, that he's testing Maharaj Pariksit, that are you going to accept this karmakanda thing? Are you going to buy this explanation? And he didn't. So that was very, very good. Then Gyanakanda, that's also not acceptable. Then finally, Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Agham Dunvanti Kartsnyena Niharamiva Bhaskara. What is he prescribing? Kevala Bhakti means?
Only devotion to Vasudeva, not mixed with
any. Unmixed, pure devotional service. The plants of sinful reactions can be uprooted by pure devotional service. In Brahma Sanghita, what is that? Karmani nirdahati kinkucha bhakti bhaja. Meaning? Someone know that verse? Karmani nirdahati kinkucha bhaja. Yastrindra gopamata vendra maho shakarma bantanu rupa palapajanam bhatanati. Someone know the meaning? A good preaching verse. You know?
Yeah, from the highest Orindra to the Indra Gopa, the insect, all these weeds, all these reactions can be destroyed. I think that's the gist of it. I don't know what.
Yastrindra Gopa Matavendra Maho Shakarma. From this Indra to that Indra. From Mahadra down to the tiny Indra, the Indra Gopa germ. Maho Shakarma. Bantanu Rupa. Palabhajana Matana. They're all getting the results of their karma. Indra's getting his karma. The ant is getting his karma. Everyone's getting whatever they're getting as a result of their previous activities. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhaja. But devotional service is so strong that it can uproot all sinful reactions, or all sins, period. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhaja. And in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, what do we find? In regard to uprooting? In the very beginning, tapatrayo namulana, that the threefold miseries are unmulana, uprooted. How are they uprooted?
Srimad Bhagavatam.
How does Srimad Bhagavatam uproot them?
Hearing from a qualified person.
Yeah. What does that do? Yeah, what does he do? Does he just sit there and wait for something to happen, or?
Incest the remaining impurities in the heart.
Yeah. Krishna, who's the Suhritsatam, who's the best friend of everyone, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he acts as the well-wishing friend in the heart. He cleans away all these impurities. And then your threefold miseries are uprooted. The miseries come as the result of sinful activities, and that's all uprooted. By the grace of Krishna. Any questions so far, or comments so far, or anything so far? Yes.
So it seems like the path of pure devotional service is the easiest means and ways of becoming freed from the desire to sin. or the reactions from sinful activity. But still, in devotional service, practicing, devotees still go through problems and difficulties and have challenging moments with these desires that manifest.
True. This is too loud, it's being done. Hare Krishna, that's better. What do we make of that? In the process doesn't work?
The process works, but those seeds are there.
What do you do?
Get them out.
Maybe we should... wear little gems on our fingers and chant Mrityunjayas and stuff like that. What should we do? If we're practicing Krishna consciousness and still we're having problems.
Keep going.
Keep going. Yeah. And this comes in the nectar of devotion. We did nectar of devotion together, right? No? Other group. In the nectar of devotion, we find in the section Purity of Pure Devotional Service that there's nothing more purifying than Krishna consciousness, than devotional service itself. So, what kind of prayaschita is recommended if a devotee falls down? Suppose a devotee falls down, does something really sinful. What kind of prayaschita is recommended? Yeah, remain engaged in devotion, because there's nothing else that's better. Not that any of these karmakandiya things are more powerful than chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is more powerful than any of those things. So if someone's Krishna conscious, and then he blows it, he commits something sinful, whatever, there's nothing better than devotional service to bring him back to the right standard. Prabhupada gave the example that the child falls on the earth and he picks himself up by the earth. So if someone falls down in devotional service, by devotional service he should pick himself up. There's nothing better that he can do. Yes. Yes.
We've got these vratas like Chaturmasya, Bhishma Panchak, Nijala Kodashi, and they seem, you know, they have the fruit of removing all sinful reactions. But it seems like already in devotional service they're removed, as we've been discussing. So could you maybe just comment on that, on the relevance of those types of vratas?
What do you make of that, Gang? There are all these vratas, you do this, you get freed from sinful reactions, you do that, you get...
Kadasi is described as being the mother of devotion. So by experiencing the mother of devotion, then the sinful proclivity to perform sinful activities is neutralized or it's put at bay.
Yeah? You want to contextualize this a little more? Yes?
See, for devotees, the first day they joined in Hare Krishna movement and started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they have already become completely purified of all the sins that have been made at matter like mountains. But for them, voluntarily taking some austerities like observing some vratas, they are being reminded in themselves that, oh, I am accepting some austerities, that's how I am being reminded about how I can be more serious with practicing Krishna consciousness to get more realization about myself and realizing my relationship with God.
I'm already freed from all sins, but by doing these austerities, I remind myself of something, of my actual position. Okay, somebody else want to say something? Are you sure we're freed from all sins as soon as we join?
No.
Wow. At what point? When you move in the temple?
When you start chanting.
When you start chanting. We know people who come to the temple and start chanting. Are they all free from all sinful reactions?
Yes.
Pretty good. And how come they go on doing things like eating meat or drinking or smoking or woman hunting?
Just like then they have definitely purified. Then certain times they come across some circumstance that that environment helped him to manifest that kind of desire to go and commit this same mistake. It comes from the association afterwards. But when he came, he was completely purified. And if he remains in touch with that fire will keep him away from even developing that sort of desire where he is going to commit further mistake. But sometimes he willfully takes him away from that fire of devotional service. That's how that attack is there, and he is being followed by that kind of environment, and he commits the same mistake.
Why does he leave if he's completely purified?
He's purified, but the taste has not yet been developed.
All right. That's, we can look at it from that point of view. Chants Hare Krishna. As long as he goes on chanting Hare Krishna, he's on the pure platform. Trouble is he stops chanting Hare Krishna and goes back home and turns on his television and picks up his telephone and starts getting into all sorts of mischief. Okay?
That's not necessarily true, because you can be chanting Hare Krishna and still doing all kinds of nonsense.
We're going to find that in this chapter. There's somebody here who's going to be doing a lot of nonsense. Big time nonsense. And then there's going to be a fight about it.
It may have the implication that, you know, just practicing devotional service as given by Prabhupada in terms of our usual activities may not be sufficient, and therefore we need to kind of do these additional things, you know, just to make sure that, that's the kind of conception that may be there if we kind of think that, you know,
chanting Hare Krishna will help us, but we better do this other stuff too. Well, okay, let's...
I mean, like, for example, Nirjala Codice's pretty detailed sort of prescription is there, you know, you have to do it in this way, and eating in this way, and then, you know, break the fast in this way, at these times. It's kind of not really related to chanting Hare Krishna, it's all additional...
All additional stuff. So, on one side we find it's the mother of devotion, on the other side we find there's all these rules and regulations, and it's additional stuff. On the other side we hear that just by chanting Hare Krishna, you're purified, and these things may just help remind us. So we have a lot of sort of different things moving around here. Let's say, first of all, that there are those who take these processes essentially without devotion to Krishna. They want to, they'll follow a codicy, or they'll observe some vrata or something, basically to improve their material situation. Maybe to get free from sins, maybe to become eligible for elevation in some way. But they're not seriously interested in devotional service. So we can say that practically they accept these things as karmakandiya practices. But then on the other side we find that there are devotees who accept these things within the area of items that are favorable for devotional service. There are things that are austerities. There's austerity, there's charity, there's sacrifice that is done, but it's done for the satisfaction of Krishna or for advancement in devotional service. And when done in that spirit, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, that's also accepted as devotional service. There are so many things. They're not necessarily devotional service, but they can become, or when properly performed, they are also within the realm of devotional service. Well, those things will help us. Those things will, and that may depend what we do according to the spiritual master's direction. So he recommends to someone, you chant more rounds. He recommends to someone else, you should follow this Ekadasi Vrata very strictly. He recommends to somebody else, you do this, you do that. Recommends to somebody else, you go preach in this godforsaken place. That's also a kind of tapasya. Recommends to someone else, this, this, or this. So these things are all part and parcel of devotional service when done under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master for the sake of pleasing Krishna. That said, Srila Prabhupada gave the most emphasis to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord and following the basic principles that he outlined in Nectar Devotion. And less importance to a lot of the more formal details of different rituals and so on. So that in essence you get a good package just by joining the society. You get the sort of standard issue things that will help us. Especially, what are the five most important items of sadhana, most powerful? Someone remember? Chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in Vrindavan or a holy place, worshipping the deities, association with devotees. So our ISKCON program is just full of all this stuff. We associate with the devotees, we live in Mayapur Vrindavan, or we spend a lot of our time in temple, or we make our house like a temple. We associate with the devotees, Sadhu Sangha, Krishna Seva, we worship the deity. We hear and chant about Krishna from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and we chant the holy name of Krishna. These are the main things that we do. Well, these things, each one of them is so powerful. So yes, these things wash away sinful reactions. And that's a progressive process. Prabhupada called that gradual cleansing process. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chaturmasya, Prabhupada, at one point, first there was nothing. There was nothing at all. Then Prabhupada introduced, around the time he introduced the Vaishnav calendar, these four austerities. 1 month no urdal, 1 month no milk, 1 month no yogurt, 1 month no spinach or green leafy vegetables. Prabhupada introduced that, and his attitude seemed to be that what is the difficulty? Maybe one of those is difficult for the South Indians. Practically, it's close to death. No, we're dull. But
or the milk for the devotees.
Milk, you can get around drinking milk, but if you're South Indian, you can't get around urdal. It means practically 1 month starvation. Yeah, so it's a little bit of tapasya. Prabhupada's attitude seemed to be, is it very difficult? It's not very difficult, but in this way we remember Krishna. So he gave us those four things to follow, and he had us put that in the calendar. That there was a little book that was made which had the first Vaishnav calendar in it, and Prabhupada had us include that. But beyond that, and then in Damodar month, to chant the Damodar Astakam and offer lamps to the deities. Prabhupada introduced. And beyond that, he really didn't give anything. He just said it's that we reduce our sense gratification and we increase our Krishna consciousness. But he didn't really he didn't call for us to do anything more he didn't call for us to do anything more. And then he saw, of course, that devotees began growing their beards for Chaturmasya, and he really didn't like that. He considered that to be essentially an excuse for reviving your hippie mentality. That was his take on it. That simply growing a beard, I think it was it Prabhupada who called it Chaturmasya? I think so. He didn't like it at all. And he said, there's so many rules and regulations, you know, simply that you grow a beard. What is that? You know, anyone can grow a beard. You were doing that when you were hippies. He said, there's so many rules and regulations, which, of course, you don't want to follow. Yeah, it's not just growing a beard, but the part that you like, you like growing your beard, so you do that for Chaturmasya. And the other things which are hard, you don't do. So he probably said, there's so many rules and regulations. And he, in general, you know, just discouraged all this. But when Bhavananda Maharaj at the time was following Chaturmasya here in Mayapur, Prabhupada approved, because he was actually following all the stuff that you're supposed to do, and Prabhupada approved that. But in general, he approved preaching, not that you just hang around and grow your beard. But he encouraged more to go out, distribute books, chant Hare Krishna, continue with the regular program. But these small austerities, give up these four things, one per month. Prabhupada encouraged that. Anything else? Yes?
The example is given of like fog dissipating with the sunlight coming.
Yeah, that's right where we were. That this Kevala Bhakti will dissipate all the sinful actions and reactions just as the sun dissipates the fog. There's a verse referred to in the purport. It's hidden, but it's on page 25. It's referred to in the Nectar of Devotion, and it's found originally, I think, in the Padma Purana, and it's quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And I've forgotten the Sanskrit for it, although I taught it just a couple of weeks ago. But it basically, you remember?
It's also quoted in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it?
Yes, it's quoted in Bhagavad Gita. Somebody have a Bhagavad Gita here?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Second chapter?
9-2.
Pramena, step by step, devotional service will clear away these different stages of sinful reactions. And they're described, four phases, Prabhupada said, those that are ready to produce results immediately, some are in seed form, some are in manifest, some are unmanifest, some are current. The idea is, there's manifest sinful reactions and unmanifest. What are the manifest ones? Parabdha. But what does it mean, manifest?
Already separate.
You're getting them now. That's manifest. And unmanifest means? You're going to get it. Right. Future. So there's manifest and unmanifest. Prabhupada, there are those that I'm getting now. There are those that are just about ready to get me. There are the things that I'm doing now that are going to result in a reaction. The things that I'm not doing yet, but I'm thinking about doing them, planning to do them. There are things I'm not yet planning to do, but the seed is there in the heart. Prabhupada gave the example just like a child. The child has no sex desire, but it's there in the heart. And at the mature time, it will come out. So that's in seed form. You know, it's not there, but it's there. From the previous lifetime, the seed of desire is there. Then later it becomes desire, later it becomes action, then it becomes, you're just about to get the reaction for what you did, then there's you're getting it. If you're getting a sinful reaction, what form does that take, for example? Yeah, basically, the body is it. It's the symbol of all sinful reactions.
Isn't it legal litigation, disease.
Yeah, disease, litigation.
Deformity.
Bad education, lack of education, ugliness. All of these things are counted as sinful reactions. If I'm suffering, in essence. If I'm suffering, then it's mature sinful reactions. And then there are ones that are just about to hit me. You know, tomorrow I'm going to get hit by a truck. Didn't happen yet, but it's going to happen. So these are all different stages of sin. Prabhupada gives the example that someone's committed a crime and he's been captured by the police. And someone else, and he's thrown in jail. And someone else has committed a crime. He hasn't been yet captured, but they're looking for him. So they're going to get him. Then someone else, they haven't yet robbed the bank. Someone else is robbing the bank. Someone else is planning to rob the bank. And someone else is not yet planning, but when it's suggested to him, he'll say, well, that's a good idea. Why didn't I think of that? Let's rob the bank. So these are all different stages of sinful reactions, from the most subtle and unseen to the most conspicuously manifest. And all of them can be extinguished or finished up by devotional service.
Mm-hmm. Some devotees find, I guess you could say maybe neophyte devotees, will find that the process is difficult, the path of devotional service. It's not so easy. It seems easy in the beginning, and then it gets a little difficult, and then it gets really difficult, and then it becomes challenging, and then it's just too difficult. I can't do it.
If you think devotional service is difficult, wait till you go back to material life. Devotional service is only a little difficult. Material life is ultra difficult. Here, at least, the inconvenience is voluntary. They're involuntary and heavy. Something else here. Okay, move it forward a little bit. So Shukadeva Goswami says, essentially, that if a sinful person engages in devotional service to the Lord, then that will completely purify him, more so than any other method. Natata hyagavan, agavan means a sinful person. Natata hyagavan rajan puyeta tapa adibi. He can become purified by tapasya and so on, but not as much as yata krishnarpita prana, dedicating his life to Krishna, tat purusha nishevaya, and engaging in the service of tat purusha, the person who's Krishna's man. Tat purusha means Krishna's man, or Krishna's pure devotee. Authorized by Shastra, it's followed by devotees who are Sushila and Sadhava, who are saintly persons, well-behaved. And the non-devotees will not be as purified, or they'll never be purified by undergoing all of these other processes. Prayaschitani chirnani narayana paranmukham na nishpunanti rajendra sura kumbham ibhapata. Just as you can, do you know that example about the liquor pot? You know that example? You know? What is that? You can't wash it. The liquor bottle or liquor pot, as many times as you wash it, it just doesn't become purified, period. It just never happens. So in the same way, the materialistic or sinful person, they may undergo prayaschitta, they may do austerities and penance and this and that, but they'll never be actually purified. Prabhupada also makes a secondary point here that how polluted liquor is. Sometimes you see on trains or someplace that people are carrying water in liquor bottles. You know, it means they're not well educated according to Vedic principles. They think that, well, okay, it had Jack Daniels in it, but we washed it and now it's good for being a water bottle. But according to Vedic knowledge, no. You've got this polluted bottle and it just doesn't become purified by washing or by anything because it's so liquor is so nasty that your bottle just is not going to get purified no matter what you do. And they're thinking, but they're, you've seen on trains or something, people are keeping. Yes. Then, Sakrin, Mana Krishna Padara Vindayor Niveshitam Tad Gunaragi Yari Ha, Nate Yamam Pashabratas Chatad Pratan, Swapne Pi Pashanti, Ichirna Niskrita. It's really extraordinary. You know, we say that chanting of Hare Krishna is so powerful. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is really making super claims. Sakrit mana Krishna Paradavindi. If one has placed one's mind at the lotus feet of Krishna, sakrit, even once, niveshatam, surrendering to Krishna, tat gunaragi yar iha, if he's somewhat attached, attracted to Krishna's qualities, name, form, and so on, then the nate yamam pashabratas chatad bhatan, the order carriers of Yamaraj won't touch him. Swapnepi, swapneti, even in dreams he won't see these Yamadutas. Even in dreams, the Yamadutas, everyone's familiar with the Yamadutas. You're not so familiar, not everyday friends. Yeah, we don't really want to be on familiar terms with the Yamadutas, but we've heard about them. Their job is to punish the sinful or drag the sinful to the court of Yamaraj. But they're not for everyone. The Yamadutas don't have jurisdiction over everyone. Who do they have jurisdiction over? Sinful people. The Yamadutas don't get involved with the animals, and because the animals never act sinfully. They always act, they just do what they're supposed to do. But the human beings, some of them act sinfully, and they're the ones who are called to account by the Yamadutas. They're the ones who have to see the Yamadutas. I saw some, by the way, some video production or something, which was, you hear all these, there's all this research about near-death experiences and how people see a beam of light and all that. And apparently they're not all so light and sweet. It seems that people see some very unpleasant things sometimes when they're having a near-death experience. And here, essentially, it's true that we have that death. We have a book where it's been presented that this is a near-death experience. Near-death experiences, of course, are a popular subject matter for public interest. People who just about approach the point of death and then come back. There's a lot of research that's been done about that, what kind of experiences they have. But here, this is essentially an account of someone who just about reached the point of death and then came back from that, and his what his experience was. The sinful persons have this experience that they can come in touch with the Yamadutas, who basically grab them. They have ropes for
catching people, and they catch them and drag them. There's just before we break, I'll tell you though of a. This is not a near-death experience. It's a past life experience. This is from the research of a parapsychologist, the leading researcher really into cases of children who remember past lives. And often such children tell about what their experiences were in the past life. Now let me remember just what happened here. And he's also done some research into near-death experiences. And he found that sometimes there were some near-death experiences which had particularly cultural features to them. And this was one example, which recurred, it seemed, various people reported this in India. This is an Indian near-death experience where a person reported, a person who was just on the verge of death and came back. And the person would report that he was dragged to the court of, the Yamadutas appeared, and they dragged him to the court of Yamaraj, and he's trembling and fearful, and the whole court is assembled there. And who's that fellow who writes all these things? Chitragupta is there, and then somebody says, maybe it's Chitragupta, or says Yamaraj, "This isn't the guy. You brought the wrong guy." And then he comes back. Typical case of Indian maladministration. Okay, so this is our break. You have 10 minutes, and we'll come back.